Future, an apocalyptic proposition. Chapter 1, I'll leave you to your being sick. Grave robbing requires a corpse, so at most, this was all just simple thievery. At least, that's what Ramuel liked to tell himself, as any proper heir to the abandoned goods he was claiming may have simply had their bones turned to dust by the whatever. That was one theory. Another was that time had moved on, or maybe time was standing still, or maybe the barren landscape was now more or less stuck in an infinite loop. Something about nuclear war, or maybe God, or maybe the God. The only thing certain, in times as they were, was uncertainty. Folk already had a hard enough time remembering what sat on yesterday's dinner plate, let alone where they came from or whom they might refer to as proper kin. Family was still a solid term, but the wayward packs and scavenging trades that blossomed out in the barren formed groups of people that had since reinvented the word. A body needed the company, and most were glad for it, but a long lifespan in times as they were, the times after the whatever, it wasn't a guarantee. Ramuel's trade was that of the tincture artist, boiling up little fermented bottles of remedy for this and that, and selling them in any populace he could find. Ramuel's talents, however, were more aligned with the kinds of work that helped certain folk be a little less alive than they were accustomed to. Morning was washing light over the horizon, and the rich smell of a smoldering campfire was one of Ramuel's favorite parts of it. The half-buried tank hole they'd made camp next to was a good and proper huddle if a dirt storm saw fit to brew in the dark, but luckily, the man in the green canvas and his young companion had no reason to make use of it. Ramuel was staring into a sliver of a mirror he kept in his pack, carefully shortening the hairs on his head back down to the skin. The procedure was rendered all the more tricky as his favorite blade for such tasks wasn't his, rather that large machete thing Abranya had favored for darker tasks. Stirring, Abranya woke. "You'll crop what little hair grows around that melon," she began, "but you won't treat that jaw with the same kindness. I may never figure you." "Well," began Ramuel with a smile, "I happen to like the way this savage thing runs my scalp, but if I were to apply the bastard on my looks, it's likely to steal my nose." He pointed the tip of the blade into the sky and looked up at it. Abranya sighed. "You do have a smaller blade, front pocket," she said. "Meh," Ramuel snorted. "I like being bald. Makes me appear all dangerous and mysterious. Like this guy?" Ramuel pointed his thumb to his chest. "This guy here? He's gonna do something." "Yeah, it makes you look like you're gonna do a shitty job as a barber," Abranya shot back. "Understatements for breakfast it is," Ramuel muttered. Ramuel finished his grooming, checked his teeth in the tiny sliver of mirror, then returned it to his pack. He carried this pack he'd found in his left hand for two reasons. One, he preferred having his right hand available for shaking, swinging, and scratching as needed. Two, unlike Abranya, he couldn't wear it on his back on account of the thermos-sized metal tank that sat back there in its leather harness. Ramuel had never given much thought to the tank, its funny little dial, or the tubes that ran into his back. The whatever could have been yesterday or 100 years ago as far as he knew, and maybe this was something that kept him from getting sick. Maybe he was sick. Maybe this tank was medicine or an oxygen cleaner or, well, something with a goddamn purpose, he often thought. Abranya had a fixation about the thing, keeping her eye on it for signs of change and to make sure it sat properly between his shoulders, but never asked too many questions as she knew she'd find little answer. The tattoo around his neck, though, that gave her questions. Supplies were far too low on this bright morning, and breakfast wasn't the first casualty. The nearest populace looked, distance-wise, about an hour or two walk from where they made camp the previous night. Ramuel and Abranya were the cautious sort, preferring to make camp shortly out of town before entering to gauge if any hostile folk would see the tiny decoy fire they'd made 100 yards away, and maybe feel up to running over for a quick smash-up. So far, so good. Today. Abranya slung her pack over her shoulders, grabbed the tincture case, and with a quick nod from Ramuel, they began the walk to town. Their large boots made this a heavy venture, more of the post-war type finding sitting around a gunner tank, but once you pull the bones of old Mr. Soldier Whomever out, you've got leather that'll last a good long while. Honest green money was gathered on occasion from a populace in need of a tincture artist, and while they were usually held in town a week or two while their work was observed, they and the bootmaker rarely crossed paths. There was little speaking when traveling, apart from the odd esoteric conversation. Abranya taught Ramuel the art of the tincture, and while she wasn't quite sure where she'd learned it, he still had all variety of questions. How many parts alcohol to how many parts tobacco for this particular headache cure? When the tincture is glowing blue, does that mean the limestone has broken? I spilled part of this tincture on my thumb, and now I can't see color. Why? Give a man a banjo, and he'll remember all of it, his band, that tiny cafe he used to practice in, and the bluegrass music he'd trained on. Give it to another, and he'll throw it on the fire and save the strings for stitching. Abranya didn't seem too concerned with the details of what happened before the whatever. The family she and Ramuel had formed hadn't always been a duo, and loss like this only seemed to harden her heart. Abranya would heal the sick, she would tend to the small, but attachment, outside of Ramuel, was hard won. Her smile, though, her smile healed well enough, for certain, and with no want of more. She had a talent. Ramuel, there, said Abranya. In the distance, do you see it? Ramuel squinted. Yep, I can see it. Doesn't seem much like a town from here. The wavy heat lines of a sunny distance slowly lowered the closer they walked, and the closer they walked, the less of a town they saw. Usually when approaching a new populace, they were accustomed to one of four things. A nice little rebuild effort, a blasted out and filthy trader post, an abandoned set of structures, or a trap. This was a new one. From a mile away, the thing was brought further into the clear. It was a single structure, several floors high, and dilapidated like the usual burnout, but all alone. There wasn't a tree, a bench, a pile of rubble, or anything around it. The building was largely white, gray trimmings around the tall floors rimmed with dozens of windows, mostly concrete with a little industrial flair, like the bony fingers of skyscraper remnants in the larger burnout cities. But this, aside from some serious grime and age, was still intact. Ramuel and Abranya continued walking in an air of curiosity, and they only let this drop their guard by a little. From a quarter mile out, things became more clear, to a point. Roughly 30% of the windows had been shattered or covered with canvas, and the building had entrances in the front, an enormous set of hinged metal double doors, and a quick circle of the back showed three large receiving areas, huge sliding doors likely for a giant truck or something similar. What a desolate and misplaced piece of the landscape, all alone out here, Ramuel thought. How many people had found this place? It was like someone threw a child's block into an open field and left it, all alone in a place you'd never look. Ramuel and Abranya finished their survey, found no immediate danger, and stood together a few feet in front of the building's large entrance doors. They were silent in their contemplation, and the bright morning wind whistled through the ins and outs of the structure. Abranya started to say something, then paused to rethink. She tried again.
"I don't like it."
"Yeah, me neither," Ramuel quickly added. "I think if we go in there, we're going to get turned into sausage or something."
"Why is it here?"
asked Abranya, running her hand back over her own shortened hair.
"There's nothing else. I've never seen such a large and tall building just alone like this. It's like it picked up and moved into the middle of the barren."
"That, or we're actually standing on the rest of the town," said Ramuel, looking at his feet.
No, I don't," said Abranya. "We're looking at the doors."
She kicked the dirt. "We'd be looking into one of the many floors if something were buried." Ramuel looked to the top of the building solemnly.
"Sausages."
"Look," Abranya began, "we're short on a few things for the kit, and if we plan on making any green money in the next layover, we'd best to find material." Ramuel licked his lips.
"You're right. But that large shaving blade you wear and my thick fingers are only going to outwit a certain number. This place could be crawling with dogmatists."
Abranya considered his argument for a moment.
"I don't see white paint, and there's no motor, let alone any sound. I mean, listen to that."
The two stood and stared at the building.
"All right, goddammit," Ramuel grumbled. "Let's go catch our death."
Abranya smiled, and the two made their way for the double doors. They were larger up close. Ramuel grabbed the rusty handle on the right door and pushed its little lever down with his thumb and then pulled. The right door groaned back towards him about 3 inches and then took the left one with it. The doors were connected or locked somehow. Abranya tried the left door by herself. Same story. She removed her large blade and fixed its point into the crease between the things, the sharp, thin side of the blade's business end facing the ground. She shimmied and wiggled the blade, sliding it into the crease between the doors until it was a good ways in, a few inches from its hilt. She then slowly slid the blade down until it stopped near the handles of the door, halted by the locking mechanism or whatever was inside tying the doors to one another. Abranya took a step backwards, knelt, held the blade firmly by the end of its hilt, and turned back toward the horizon as the knot faced the doors, closing her eyes tightly. Ramuel raised his knee and brought his boot down on the back of the blade with a force that, as Abranya once put it, could render blocked cinder into powder. A few short sparks jumped from the crease of the doors, and the sound of a chain and shredding aluminum popped their ears as Abranya's blade buried itself into the concrete step at the door's base. She picked up her blade, and Ramuel tried the right door again. The little thumb lever was now useless, but the door was free, and with Abranya crouched and poised to strike, he slowly opened the massive metal gateway toward her. The light from outdoors bled through the boarded windows and painted everything inside the building. As nothing immediately jumped out and went for the neck, Ramuel and Abranya slowly ventured inside the structure. With so much dust and grime, it was hard to tell what this building might have been used for. There was a large desk just a few feet from the front doors, and overturned equipment of one sort or another lay everywhere. There were many little bed-looking things with wheels, carts with boxes with buttons on them, and large poles with little hanging bottles. Ramuel walked behind the large desk and started overturning wooden boxes and flipping through stacks of paper. If he could find a blank sheet, he'd have found a solid piece of trade, but everything here had been inked to the corners with words and words and words. Papers, everything with big bold headlines, crinkled, torn, and faded. Messages that read as nonsense. Klaus Barbie. What's a Bolivia? Thought Ramuel.
Hurricane, Ramuel softly spoke to himself. Alicia.
Alicia?
Do we know an Alicia?
Abranya heard his muttering, but she just shrugged.
Long hallways extended from behind the right and left of the desk to what looked like the back of the building. There were many, many doors on both sides of the hallways. Inside this front area, there was just the desk, the overturned little beds, and some assorted furniture frames, long clear of whatever soft material had made them suitable for a weary body. Abranya wandered a little further into the first floor, then shouted back to Ramuel, "Hey, come look at this." Ramuel walked to her and looked up at the hallway marker that Abranya had been examining. "This says emergency, right?" she asked. Ramuel sniffed and focused on the letters. "Yeah, it does," he replied. "What do you think it means?" "I think this was a building for sick people," replied Abranya. Ramuel took another quick survey of the floor where they stood. "But this place is in the middle of nowhere. How would you get a sick person here?"
"That's a good question," Abranya agreed. "I have no idea."
"Hospital, that's the word. We're in a hospital. Same as a Sawbones in most of the populace we visit. They'd work here. This place should be full of treats."
Abranya pointed and made their orders with a rare enthusiasm.
"You take that hallway, I'll take this one." Ramuel knew his own limitations when it came to physical combat, but he knew Abranya's even better. She wasn't the feminine type one might imagine on first blush, and her quickness served well in combination with that big blade. She also knew that life was much safer when in the presence of Ramuel.
"All right," said Ramuel, "but make all kinds of loud noise if you sense a shuffle."
Abranya nodded, and they started exploring. They lived by a small set of small rules, and one was that when exploring, never move so fast that you can't hear your own breath. Abranya slowly walked the long hall, littered with miscellaneous equipment of unknown use, and trailed her fingers across the walls of the building. Most of the doors swung quietly open to small rooms with more beds, and they contained little else but stains. Down the hallway on the wall to her right, Abranya spotted what looked to be a map, little lines with little stick figures darting all over. Emergency. Pediatrics. Elevators. Restroom. Pharmacy. Pharmacy. Right wing, fourth floor, that's the one, she thought. The word resonated somewhere deep inside of her brain pan as she trailed the map with an index finger. She thought that in the pharmacy, something of use might still have been there from the civilization of her formative years, or her now years, or from 3 weeks ago. No, I've been traveling longer than that. We keep track for a reason, she thought. I'm not losing my mind. Pharmacy, now. Yes, stairs. Ramuel wandered his hallway with similar results. Nothing much in the rooms. Large equipment with nonsense words on them. Beds. More beds. Little carts and little poles with glass bottles hanging from them. They were desperate for material, but they both knew that to survive as any sort of entrepreneur, they had to stay ahead of the game. They weren't the only ones who could tincture, but they were in a select niche in that their necks were still connecting heads to bodies. If there was just a little rotten food, or old cigarettes, ink, paint, blood, anything on their mile-long list of materials to work with, the trip would be of use. Most who roam and wander look for the usuals. Copper, rubber, coins, canvas, clothes, the occasional magazine, and bottled alcohol. Making good fermented booze wasn't an entirely difficult process, but the stuff found in the fancy bottles was always far and away a special occasion kind of thing. This left the odd materials, the ones that had some life left in them and were, as of yet, unable to be duplicated in any sort of manufacture. Ramuel found the stairs quickly and decided up would be the place to continue his search. The door for the second floor wasn't locked, but it was barricaded by something he decided wasn't worth the noise just yet, not knowing who or what was lurking around in here. He might startle away his supper for all he knew. After what he figured was an hour, time as it was, Ramuel had decided that this place had been picked clean long prior by other tincture artists, or perhaps this building never actually had anything of any substance in it. The possibility that it was broken and barren far before the whatever wasn't lost on him, but an attempted salvage mission was usually better than a sunburn. Right before he decided to head back to Abronya, Ramuel's boundless and sometimes inappropriate curiosity nudged him toward a room at the end of the hallway, a room with two large double doors that were propped open by scraps of random this and random that. He slowly moved his way forward, peeking into the room with a stretched neck the closer he came. The room appeared to be large enough for several of those beds, or maybe this was the room where they'd open someone up to try and clear out whatever was inside causing all the trouble. Canvas littered the floor, and stacks of books lined the walls, all manner of magazines, pamphlets, and hardcover books, strange items of low value, but some of the populace had taken to the erection of a makeshift library here and there, so who knew? To his left, in the far corner, was what looked like a propped-up tent, somewhere for a person to bed down. At its entrance were all types of cooking utensils, little pots, pans, and glass jars, all surrounding the tent proper, which appeared to be empty. Ramuel thought to himself that they had enough jars, so without trace of any owner, he started rummaging to see if the former patron had anything in his jars that could soon be in their jars, and that's when he found it. Coffee. A full 5-pound canvas sack of tiny black beans, and after a memorable first tasting of the stuff a year prior, Ramuel would never forget that aroma. Abronya had discovered some on an earlier hunt, and while she kept a bit for the kit, she introduced Ramuel to the wondrous mating of boiled water and crushed coffee bean. Even if it meant another several pounds to his daily carry, Ramuel started looking for a length of rope to tie the bag closed, settling on a little strap of green twine that had been keeping a stack of 4 dusty volumes about alligators tightly bound together. He reached with thumb and forefinger to untie the books, then seized up, his body frozen, as he felt a sharp pain in his left nostril, the kind you initially attribute to a bee sting before your eyes have surveyed that larger threats may yet exist. "Off. Fingers off," Ramuel heard a voice command. "Off. Now." It was a man's voice, and as Ramuel lifted both hands into the air, he turned to face the body who currently gripped the tiny arrowhead-shaped dagger that was about to cleave Ramuel's nostril in twain. "Careful," said Ramuel. "Didn't think anyone was on or about. I'll leave what's not mine and leave you to yours, no harm between." "Stand up," the man ordered, and in no position to refuse the order, Ramuel obliged, slow-like as to not encourage any violence. The man was shorter, but nearly everyone was shorter when it came to Ramuel. He appeared 5, maybe 5.5 feet tall, about Abranya's kind of tallness, but much more in the thick spectrum of a body. Receding hairline. What was left of his hair was brown and curly, nearly the same color as his overcoat, vest, and tattered fingerless gloves. Ramuel saw a few black tattoos around the length of his neck, nearly to his ears, and though shrouded by his dirty white undershirt, he was certain his body was fully painted with the marks. No metal tank hanging on his back, though, and no words in tattoo on the neck. He wasn't like Ramuel in this way. His expression bore more fear than anger, though an equal share of both washed over his mug more than once. "I'm not letting this go. I'm sick of raiders and I'm sick of theft," the man exclaimed. "I'm sick, do you hear me? Sick of it." "I hear you fine clear," replied Ramuel, eyes now starting to water from the pain in his nose. "I'll leave you to your being sick if you'll leave my snout with only the 2 holes. This shit really hurts, friend, and I'm liable to sneeze my way out of an eyeball." "Walk, back to the door. I'll see you to the dirt outside then," the man ordered. "Listen, friend," began Ramuel. "We didn't come for thievery. We tincture. We're only looking for what's left behind to help others and the like for a touch of green money. You know the trades.
As they started to clear the doorframe in the room with the short man's tent, Ramuel walking backwards and the short man holding a tiny blade in his nose, the man suddenly ordered a full stop.
"What do you mean, we?" he asked.
As the vowel on his last word came to an end, the short man felt the heft of something unpleasantly sharp slide ever so gently under his patchy, bearded chin.
"We," he says, quipped Abranya. "Now, let's hear that tiny slicer bang on the floor."
A trio of people, frozen in violent intent. Ramuel with his hands up and a blade in his nose, held by the short man with curly hair whose arm had to stretch to make the height, and a young, skinny woman holding a knife with both hands, a knife almost as tall as herself and half as thick, right under and terribly close to the short man's throat. The short man dropped his blade, fell to his knees, then slumped back onto his rear end, back against the end of the hallway. His expression turned to a frown, the way depression in these times could grip a person after 3 weeks of digging a well to no water.
"Do it fast, then, if you please," the short man said, leaning forward and exposing the back of his neck by looking at the floor. "Quickly now, you've got my coffee to drink, my body to eat."
Silence set in for a moment or three, split occasionally by the light wind darting between the canvas over the windows. The short man began to sob, and was only brought back to attention by Ramuel's hand on his shoulder.
"Rise up now, friend," said Ramuel. "You're a mite too fat for my taste buds, and murder over some jars really wasn't in my bucket today."
The short man slowly came to his knees, wiped the tears from his eyes with the palms of his fingerless gloves, and looked to Abranya, who was still eyeballing him with great unease.
"What do you want?" the short man asked.
Ramuel quickly surveyed the room once more.
"Are you hungry?" asked Ramuel, meeting him with a stare.
The short man met Ramuel's eyes.
"So very," he replied.
"Come outside with us, then," said Ramuel.
"Leave your knife. Bring your coffee."
Visit tincturestory.com for artwork, social media info, Creative Commons music links, and more.